natural birth. Don't worry if it's not working. It may pop up in a minute. We had a newborn baby crying. So, a baby is delivered, and then the anxious wait for him or her to take their first breath, and with their first cry announcing they've arrived safely. In the beginning of the world, we read in Genesis that God created everything, and last of all, he created people. Genesis 2, verse 7, we read, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust." Oh! Well done. Thank you. There was a picture of a newborn baby as well. There we go. Where was I? Genesis 2, verse 7, we read, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." That's physical birth. Spiritual birth, John chapter 3. You know this so well, but I'm just going to read it again. Near the beginning of Jesus' mission, a man named Nicodemus went to see him one night. Nicodemus was a member of the main Jewish religious committee called the Sanhedrin. He was a teacher and already had some knowledge of Jesus and had begun to believe that here was a very special person. Nicodemus went to see Jesus at night, perhaps so that those who were complaining that Jesus was not a proper teacher would, if by going by night, they perhaps wouldn't know that Nicodemus was showing an interest in this unusual man. Or perhaps he wanted a long conversation with Jesus, which wasn't possible in the daytime when crowds were going up and following Jesus to listen to him and to take their sick friends to him to be healed. As a Pharisee, Nicodemus believed, like all Jews, that salvation, getting right with God, came by works of the law. Jesus knew that Nicodemus was sincerely seeking to obey God and to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus that a person can enter the kingdom of God only by being born again. This was new teaching, and Nicodemus didn't understand what it meant. And he said, "How can someone who is grown up be born again? People cannot go back into their mother and be born again." Jesus explained that flesh gives birth to flesh, that's natural birth, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. That's spiritual birth. What Nicodemus needed was not a new law, but a new heart. He needed a new spiritual power that would change his inward nature and make him acceptable to God. People cannot enter heaven by their own effort, no matter how much effort they put in, but only by receiving a new life through faith in Jesus, who is Christ. When a person believes who Jesus is and realizes they've excluded God from their life and therefore not been living the way he would like, they say sorry, then he or she can invite the Lord into their life. It's like a fresh start, like being born again, but this time spiritually. By having God live right inside each one by his Spirit. This is how a person enters the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. Breath. We saw in Genesis how God formed the first man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, physical life. Before his death, Jesus told his disciples he was going away, but he wouldn't leave them as orphans. Jesus also told them it was for their own good that he was going away, because then he would send the Holy Spirit to them. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and followers on several occasions.
On one early occasion, Jesus appeared to his disciples while they were gathered together in a locked room. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he showed them his hands and side. Jesus told them that just as the Father had sent him, he was now sending them. And with that, the Bible says, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The disciples needed God's help to carry out the commission they had just been given. Here they received the Holy Spirit. 50 days later at Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the same commission today and cannot do it successfully in our own strength. Be filled with the Spirit is not for a one-off experience, but for a continual refilling on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit living inside Jesus' followers is as important as the natural breath we have to keep us alive. Just as we cannot see our breath, except on a cold winter's day, of course, we cannot see our breath inside us, but we know it's there. So we cannot see the Holy Spirit, but we know his power working in us and through us. Recently, my daughter phoned me up and said, "I'm coming to pick you up 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, Mum. We're going to go and watch the hot air balloons at Ragley Hall." So it was a lovely sun. Every morning's been a lovely sunny one this year, hasn't it? Anyway, off we go in the car, and all these balloons are going up. And we followed one a short distance, and one in particular was struggling. And it came lower and lower and lower and lower until it landed on the ground. We managed to park right near it, got out of the car and went to look. And this poor balloon was deflated. It had lost all its air and just deflated. And it made me think about when the Holy Spirit comes to us, we might feel a bit deflated and unable to do what we're meant to do, because the whole point of an air balloon is filled with air and it flies. We may feel like the deflated one, but we can invite Jesus into our life, Holy Spirit into our lives, and he will fill us. And like the hot air balloon, we can go and do what we're meant to do. Food. We already talked about food this morning. Manna. Is the manna slide? Hooray! Thank you. I just really thank the team at the back who've been doing the presentation with me. I asked for a lot and they've been very good at sorting it for me. I'm very grateful. So, food. For a newborn baby to grow, he or she needs to be fed, starting with milk, then semi-solid food leading into a full diet. With meat, cheese, vegetables, fruit, rice, pasta, cake and biscuits, and a whole lot more. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to ask for daily bread, a basic food, but daily. The Israelites had to learn to trust and obey God for their daily bread. God fed the Israelites in the desert with manna from heaven, with clear instructions what to do. They had to learn to follow his instructions carefully. He told them to collect manna each morning, just enough for their own family and no more. Every morning, that is, except on the Sabbath, when they would have no manna. But they could collect twice as much as they needed on the day before the Sabbath. Some did not follow the instructions and collected twice as much as they needed during the week. So they thought if they'd got twice as much one day, they needn't go collecting the next day. But the next morning, the manna smelt very nasty and had not only that, maggots in it. Yet the day before the Sabbath, they were allowed to collect double the amount and keep it overnight. This time it did not smell nasty or have maggots. They soon learnt to obey God's instructions. Throughout the Bible, we see that love and obedience go hand in hand. We've heard more than one occasion recently how Jesus taught his followers that just as people need food to live naturally, So we need spiritual food to help us to grow spiritually, to grow into better Christians. John 6:48, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Just as our bodies cannot survive without food and drink, so the spiritual part of our lives cannot survive without feeding on Jesus. How can we feed on Jesus? By reading the Bible, we get to know what he's like and how we should live. By learning to pray. All good friendships need each person to talk to the other and listen to one another. So it is with prayer. We learn how to talk to the Lord and also to listen to him. Talking's the easy part, and too often our prayers, well, mine anyway, are more like a shopping list of wants, even if they're not all for myself. It takes time to use prayer to worship the Lord and give him thanks for all he is and all he does, as well as our requests. Listening is something we learn by experience. For example, when I think or do something that is not very kind, my conscience pricks me. That's one way the Lord speaks to me. When preparing to give a Christian talk, it's encouraging and exciting, after praying for inspiration, to see how thoughts, songs, readings from the Bible, and ideas drop into one's mind and begin to come together. Physical and spiritual life need a daily supply of nourishment. Water. Water is essential to both human and plant's life. Every cell needs water. One day Jesus travelled from Judea to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria, came to a town called Sychar. A well built years before by the Jewish ancestors was a welcome sight as Jesus was tired and thirsty after walking a long way. He sat by the well to wait for his disciples who'd gone into a nearby village to get some food. A Samaritan woman arrived to draw water for herself. Jesus asked, "Will you give me a drink?" The woman replied, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Usually Jews wouldn't talk with Samaritans, and a Jewish man would certainly try not to talk to a woman on her own, especially if she was a Samaritan woman. Jesus surprised her by saying that if she knew who he was and the gift God could give her, she would have asked him for a drink of living water. The woman was quick to see Jesus had nothing to use to collect water from the well that was deep. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well?" Jesus explained that everyone who drank from the well would be thirsty again. But the water Jesus could give would become like a spring of water within that person, so they would never be thirsty again. Jesus was talking about God's gift of eternal life for everyone who believes in him. This gift gives spiritual life while we're on the earth, and eternal life with the Lord in heaven after our earthly body dies. The woman still didn't understand and asked Jesus to give her some of this special water so that she need not come to the well every day to replenish her stock of water. They talked further, and after a while the disciples returned. The woman left her water jar and went back to her village and told the people there, "Come and meet a special man I've met at the well, I really think could be the promised Christ." I put a please note, as soon as this woman realized Jesus was no ordinary person, she went and told others, who then went to meet Jesus for themselves. There's a challenge there for us, I think. The result was that at the villagers' request, Jesus stayed 2 days with them, talking about God's love and the kingdom of God. Many more people became believers. Later in John's Gospel, this living water is used to describe the Holy Spirit. Just as people need water to live and thrive in the natural way, so followers of Jesus need the Holy Spirit in them to grow closer to God on a daily basis. John 14, verse 23 is an amazing verse. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, He will obey, that word again, obedience. He will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we, plural, will come to him and make our home with him. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's where the we comes from. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Again, we hear obedience is important, just as the Israelites found out when they were collecting manna. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes into our life as soon as we invite Jesus in, and that he comes to help us become a follower. I'm going to ask Tina now if she'll come and pray, please.
When I thought of exercise, I thought of muscles. Definition of exercise, ready? Exercise is a specific type of physical activity that is planned, structured, and done on purpose to boost fitness. A good example of exercise with purpose is people who do weightlifting, and I think that's probably him. They need strong muscles. Regular exercises to enlarge and strengthen their muscles is vital. One of our spiritual exercises that improves with regular practice is prayer. I've often heard prayer compared with muscles in that it grows and strengthens the more you use it. When we first become a Christian, it may seem strange to talk to God out loud or silently in our inner spirit, and it takes practice to get to know how to talk to God in prayer and how to listen to him. Just as an unformed, I can have a good example, an unformed weak muscle can become big and strong, so our prayer life can grow and gain in strength the more we use it. All sports people who are genuinely trying to enjoy and improve in their sport are disciplined. Disciplined about spending time every day working on getting the best out of whatever sport they're in. It's the same for followers of Jesus in some ways, in that we need to spend time finding out how we can grow stronger in understanding and confidence in what we do to please the Lord as we follow him. Paul talks about winning the race and aiming to receive the winner's crown. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Like an athlete who has engaged successfully in a contest or fought the good fight, he had finished the race and had kept the faith. That is, he had carefully observed the rules and teachings of the Christian faith. The next one, rest. Completely the opposite of exercise. But it's vital to our physical, mental, and spiritual health. At the beginning, when God created the whole world and everything in it, he rested from his work on the seventh day. God set the example to follow. Genesis 2, verse 22. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. When Jesus was on the earth, he said, come to, and he says the same today, I'm sure, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. On their return, after going in pairs to share the good news about the kingdom of God, Jesus said to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. We heard earlier that Jesus was tired and sat by the well to rest and get a drink when he met the Samaritan woman. Jesus, although fully God, was fully human, and he knew what it's like to feel tired.
Jesus would often go alone to a mountainside or other quiet place to spend time in the presence of Father God and pray, which renewed his strength. Friends, I've missed friends. Friends. When I was thinking what to put or the things that we need in life to keep us well, I couldn't miss out friends. We all need friends, don't we? In Proverbs, it says, a friend loves at all times. James, in chapter 2 in the Bible, describes Abraham's faith and his actions working together. As a result, it says, Abraham believed God and he was called God's friend. During Jesus' ministry on earth, he was called a friend of tax collectors and sinners. This was because he regularly spent time with such people, which upset the religious leaders. Jesus showed by example that God loves everyone and is willing to forgive and change anyone who asks him. I have a little book here of daily readings, and this one fitted in so well. All God's children. If they could be made God's people by what they did, God's gift of grace would not really be a gift. To whom does God offer his gift? To the brightest? To the most beautiful or the most charming? No, his gift is for us all. Beggars and bankers, clergy and clerks, judges and janitors, all God's children. He wants us so badly, he'll take us in any condition. The tag on our collars is as is. When you go and buy something that's a bit damaged, it says sold as seen, sold as is. God is not about to wait for us to reach perfection. He knows we'll never get there. Do you think he's waiting for us to overcome all temptations? Hardly. When we master the Christian walk, far from it. Remember, Christ died for us when we were still sinners. His sacrifice then was not dependent on our performance. He wants us now as we are. John 15:15 says, Jesus speaking, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. As a Christian, I am a friend of God and he's my friend. Last one, love. If you want a good study, get a concordance and look up love. Love is something very special. God created the world and put people in it to love him and to receive love from him. He created the first man and said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. So God created males and females to love one another and to join together to have children. We are made for love. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your being and your neighbor as much as you love yourself. John 3:16, everyone knows this so familiar verse. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. On several occasions, it's recorded that God was heard to say about Jesus, this is my son whom I love. Jesus knew what it was to love people. Before one of his friends died, his sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Soon afterwards, Jesus heard that Lazarus, the friend, had died. And we read, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus wept. A great book in the Bible to read is the letter of John, particularly his first letter written to Christians. In chapter 4, we are told by John, who was one of Jesus's first disciples and formerly a fisherman, that God is love. We know this disciple was described as the disciple who Jesus loved. That didn't mean that Jesus didn't love the other disciples, but we see from the New Testament that Jesus had a special bond with John. Chapter 4 of John's letter is full of descriptions of love. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God, born again. God showed his love by sending his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. In John's Gospel, he records Jesus' words, "A new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." In Corinthians, a well-known passage that's often read during wedding services, states that love is the most excellent way. It is patient and kind. Love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, rude, or self-seeking, not easily angered, does not delight in evil. Love does not look at other people's faults and weaknesses. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love always protects, hopes, perseveres. Love never fails. Faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. This passage is God personified. Love is very special, a gift from a loving God. Please, could we have the second slide up just to do a quick review? There we go.
So we've thought about the physical and spiritual side of life. We've thought of birth physically and spiritually, and a verse to go with that, Jesus said you must be born again. That's the spiritual side. We thought of breath physically and spiritually. And the verse to go with that, God breathed life into the first man. God gave the first life. Where have I got to? Food, I'm on food, yes. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We need to feed on Jesus. Water, Jesus said, I give living water. Exercise, Jesus said, have faith, do not doubt, when it's talking about prayer especially. Rest. Jesus said, I will give you rest. Oh, you is are. It not working?
It doesn't
Sorry.
Seem to be working, Helen.
Can you hear me now? You can read it anyway, I know. Friends. Jesus said, I have called you friends. There's a song, isn't there? I am a friend of God. I won't sing it. Love. Jesus asks, here's the question. We know that Jesus loves everyone very, very much. The question is, do we love Jesus? Jesus asks, do you love me? Thank you for this. I'm moved, sorry. We're going to have our closing hymn now. And it's, I can't remember, is it Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Thank you. here.
I'm sorry, I lost my place. I should have asked Claire to come and pray at the end of the list of eight things. So come and do it now, please, Claire.